I want you to open your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Mark in the 11th chapter, verse 25 and 26. Entitling this message, The Prison of Refusing to Forgive Others. Mark 11, 25 and 26. The Word of God said here, And when you stand praying, literally when you're praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the anointing of God that's in this place tonight. Thank you for the anointing of God that I feel in my spirit right now. And Lord Jesus, anoint me even greater to declare this which you placed in my heart weeks ago. Jesus, speak to us tonight. Give us ears and a heart to hear and receive. And let the Holy Ghost of God do His office work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Harboring unforgiveness against those who have wronged us, it breaks down our relationship with God. Therefore, God cannot and will not forgive us our sins as long as we are unwilling to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Did you hear me? God will not forgive us our sins as long as we are unwilling to forgive those who have trespassed against us. I believe that if we could see every heart here tonight, I believe that we could see in the hearts of some in this service tonight that you're harboring grudges against someone and you have refused to forgive. But you need to understand, Jesus is not going to change His message because you don't like what His message says. If you do not forgive, Jesus said, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Jesus is not going to excuse our unforgiving heart. And the length of time that it takes you to forgive, that's how long it takes for you to receive forgiveness. And really, if we're unwilling to forgive, we put ourselves in danger of possibly losing our soul if we're unwilling to forgive. And we need to think about that. I'd like to relate, just be a little transparent with you tonight. What I'm about to say, I'm not trying to sound tough. I do expand under pressure. And I don't bring a knife to a gunfight. But there was a time in my life, I've tasted bitterness. I've tasted unforgiveness. And it's a horrible place to be. Because of what a man who's dead and in heaven now, my wife was instrumental, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here right now, but my wife was instrumental in winning him to the Lord. But this individual, because of what he did to my son, our son that's in heaven, because of what he did to our son, I wanted to kill him. I don't mean phrase of speech. If I could have done what I wanted to do, I'm not one to call you and threaten you. I just come and I show up and we get it done. And if I'd have had my way, I'd have just showed up at his front door, took a shotgun, and blew his heart out of him. It was that severe in my heart because of what he did to my son. Now, don't mess with my family, because somebody's going to get hurt. Don't mess with my family. And here was this individual, because of what he did to our son. And I said on national television, I said, I wanted him dead, and I wanted to do it to him. Brother Swaggart says, he says, sometime I've seen people that you'd like for them to just meet up with an 18-wheeler. And I thought, I'd want to be the one driving the 18-wheeler. But I learned this, and I was would be reminded, and I'd think, Walt Mills, if you don't forgive him, you have no forgiveness. And the thing about it is I've found this, that most people just have it repressed. It's just buried down there somewhere. They think they have forgiven it, but you go to talking about it, and all that anger and all that stuff comes up again. And I would honestly think I was over it. And I'd get to thinking about it, get mad all over again. Or get to talking about it and get mad all over again. And all those feelings would come up in you again. How many know what I'm talking about? But I learned this. This went on for several months, seems like. And as I said, I was telling myself, Walt Mills, you've got to forgive. If you don't forgive, you have no forgiveness. And you're struggling with it. But there came the time when God helped me to forgive. And it was no longer there. It wasn't buried. It was no longer there. And I learned that when I forgave, that I was set free. The forgiveness was for me. The forgiveness was for me. I was free from bondage. And the forgiveness is for you. You can stay in that prison house if you want to. But I'll tell you now, I've been on both sides of it, and this side's far better when you're free from it. And I've told individuals, or I've had individuals say to me, well, I'll forgive it, but I can't forget it. And there's that tone in their voice. They haven't forgiven anything. Well, I just think if you think about it and if you remember it, you haven't forgiven. That's foolishness. I'm telling you about it. But when I think about it, it doesn't stir up anything. It doesn't bring up anger. It doesn't bring up feelings of wanting to hurt somebody or take them out of this world. I mean, I'm telling you about it, but it's like it never happened. And my wife, as I said, she was instrumental in winning this man to the Lord. He lived to be up in his 80s. And now he was ill in the hospital. My wife went to see him, won him to Christ. I would go see him. And I can tell you before God, from that time that I forgave him until this moment that I speak to you, all that I have felt for that man is nothing but love. Nothing but love. Hallelujah. I know what it is to be free. But as she won him to the Lord, and when he passed away, we were flying out of town going somewhere, and I told my wife, I said, we can't go to the funeral, but I want to go by the funeral home and I want to see him. As I saw him laying in his casket, nothing but love. And I thought, I'll see you again someday. I'll see you again someday. And as long as you're willing to hold to that grudge, as long as you're willing to hold to that unforgiveness, you're the prisoner. You're the prisoner. Not only that, you're putting yourself in danger of losing your own soul. But I know, as I've already said, I know what it is to have the anger and the unforgiveness and the bitterness and all that goes with that nonsense. But I know what it is to be free. Some are angry with God because of the death of a loved one and they want to blame God. I know what it means to lose loved ones. Virtually all of my family. I have one aunt left. She's 88 years of age. She lives down in the state of Georgia. She's the only one out of my dad and grandparents. All my grandparents are gone. We've buried one after another, but I never wanted to get angry with God. Never had a desire to get angry with God. Well, let me tell you something. Our oldest son be dead 22 years this coming December. I've learned that a phone call can change your life. One moment you're all right, and the next moment you're all wrong. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dean and Mary Brown, but Mary Brown is the one that wrote the song that "What a Healing Jesus." And my wife and I, we were finishing packing. We were going to catch a plane, go up to Memphis where they live and spend a little time with them. But while we were packing, we got a phone call that changed our life from now on. Our son, December the 16th, 1991, we found dead. His heart had just given away with him. But let me tell you something. It's natural and it's normal to grieve. Even Jesus stood and wept, but He didn't stay there. I've seen individuals, here it is, 16. I had a letter sent to me one time from some lady. Her father had died 16 years before, and she said, "I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it." No, that gets into another gear. We buried our son. But at his funeral, and that place was jam-packed. The building was full. The hallways were full. People standing outside. Honestly, I wasn't aware that that many people knew our boy. And our son had been away from God for a number of years. But the last couple of years of his life, he was back in church. Now he was a single parent. He had gone through a bitter divorce. And now he was a single parent. He was taking his children to the house of God. But as I was there at the funeral, and different ones were saying things, and I wanted to say something about our son. And then it came time for me to sing a song, and I looked at his casket, and I said, "I sing this for him, for my boy, because it's true of him. And I sing it for myself, because it's true of me. It is well with my soul." And less than five months later, our 8-year-old little Clint, mind as sharp as a tuck, running out across the schoolyard one day to go out and play, collapsed, and never came out of that. My wife was holding him up until the moment he died, 8 years of age. We were at his funeral, saw that 8-year-old boy that we loved in that casket. His little school friends and everything were coming by and placing little trinkets in his casket to send with him. I took my wife back home. I got in the car and I drove back to the cemetery. And as I looked at those graves, the one of our son, a few months old, and the one of our 8-year-old grandson that was fresh, and tears running down my face, and on purpose, by the grace of God, on purpose, I turned my face toward God. And I said, Father, I praise You anyway. I praise You anyway. I didn't praise Him because my grandson and my son had died. I praised Him in spite of it. And I can tell you now that that peace that passes all understanding, I have felt it. I feel it now as I speak to you. My wife's niece, she attended our son's funeral, and she saw the strength of God. There was such an anointing in that place, and she saw the strength of God that God had given to us. And she said, I want that. I want what they've got. I want what they've got. And she still serves God today. Time and again, only God knows the times. And it went on, seemed like for a few years, people meet you in a hotel lobby or walk up to you somewhere and just come up and say, we saw you going through this test and this trial. And we figured if you can make it, we can make it. If you can still praise God and keep preaching the gospel and singing the gospel, if you can keep on rejoicing in the Lord, we can make it. But you can't know that if you're holding the grudges. God's grace is precious. God's grace is precious. I don't want nothing. I don't want that bondage. I don't want that anger and that unforgiveness. God's grace is precious. There are those who have refused to forgive their spouse because they were unfaithful to them. The betrayed wife will say, my husband was unfaithful to me and I can't forgive him. Do you want forgiveness? If you have aught against any, forgive, or otherwise your Father will not forgive you. The betrayed husband can say, my wife betrayed me. She ran around on me. I can't forgive her. Do you want forgiveness? Daughters. And I don't understand this. I could take a bullwhip and take the hide off of a man that does this. Take a daughter that he should be willing to die for. And molest that child. And I can tell you now that when that happens, it messes that child up. And even into adulthood, they still wrestle with it. I was preaching a revival in Dallas, Texas, and the mother came up to me after the service and she said, Brother Mills, would you speak to my daughter? And so I met her in the aisle of the church and I said, your mother wants wanted to speak to me. And she said, yes, my father molested me sexually when I was a girl. I don't understand it. And she couldn't get over it, it seems. She said, I just can't get over this. I can't forgive him. I said, where is your father? He said, he's dead. I said, you're letting a man in a grave control your emotions. He can't harm you anymore. He can't do anything to you anymore. But you're letting a dead man control your emotions. Oh, I know some things can cut so deep until it's hard to get over sometime. But you can get over it because God's grace will help you get over it. Amen. As is preached here time and time again, all that Jesus accomplished in the cross, at the cross, everything is there. Your deliverance is there. Your healing is there. Your way out of that prison house is there. I sense His loving presence. I'm trying to close. Some have unforgiveness buried so deep. I've learned this. Some have unforgiveness buried so deep that when God speaks to them about it, they think God's made a mistake. I was preaching a revival up in a Midwest state. And God led me that morning to deal with this subject of unforgiveness. I didn't know I was going to preach it till I got to church. I don't like these times, but my wife, she asked me on the way to church, she said, "What are you going to preach?" I said, "I don't have a clue. I don't have any idea what I'm going to preach. I don't like those moments." And thank God they don't come real often. But as I got in the service, the Lord directed me to begin to deal with this subject of unforgiveness. While this pastor's wife, was on the platform, and God spoke to her. She knew the voice of God. God spoke to her and said, "You've got to forgive your daughter." Now, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know what they'd gone through. I don't know what kind of falling out they'd had. Don't know anything about it. But here's what I'm saying. It can be so buried until you think God's made a mistake. Because as soon as God said, "You've got to forgive your daughter," she said, "Lord, I already have." Just like God didn't know what in the world He's talking about. But as we went to have lunch that Sunday afternoon, she and her husband's gone to heaven now, but she and her husband, as we sat at that dinner lunch table, she said, "Brother Mills, my life was changed this morning." And she related that story to me. And thank God she did ultimately forgive her daughter. Everything is smooth and fine. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. As I've said, some have it buried so deep until they think God has made a mistake when He talks to them about it. A man made this statement. Before I continue, the musicians and singers, will you come and make your way, please? But a man made this statement. He said, "You must learn to forgive and forget the past." He said, "You will be unhappy." Listen to me. You've seen them do it 1,000 times. "You'll be unhappy all your life if you cling to unpleasant memories." But the remarkable thing about this statement is this. This statement was made by a man who was most vile. He was corrupt and ungodly. And most likely is in hell right now while I speak to you and to our audience by television. But he had learned a truth, as ungodly as he was. And as I said, more than likely in hell now. But he had learned a truth that many who profess to be born-again Christians have never learned. As long as you hold unpleasant memories and feed on that thing and feed on that thing, you have made a choice to stay in that prison house, and you won't get out until you say, "God, I forgive." Just as you've made a choice to remain bitter, unforgiving, all of that goes with that. As you've made a choice to stay there, you must make a choice that "I won't stay there." And you'll find what Jesus did for you at the cross. You'll find it present here to help you tonight. If you'll just begin to play something softly for me, please. Unforgiveness has consequences. Did you hear me? Unforgiveness has consequences. Unforgiveness holds us in a prison of our own making. Unforgiveness robs us of God's joy and peace of mind. Unforgiveness can and does ruin one's health. There are people wind up with cancer and all kinds of maladies and diseases because they will not give it up. It can ruin your health. There are consequences. Besides ultimately putting yourself in a situation that you could die lost. We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves because we believe in some kind of a perverted way. We believe that we're getting even with the person who's hurt us by holding a grudge against them when more than likely we're not even in their thoughts. You in this audience, across this nation, in other parts of the world, you must forgive if you want forgiveness. Not because I say so, but because Jesus said so. Unforgiveness, as I said in the beginning, unforgiveness breaks down our relationship with God, puts our soul in jeopardy because God cannot and will not forgive us when we refuse to forgive those who have sinned against us. I want you to stand. Ephesians 4:32 says, be you kind. Listen to it. Be you kind to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ. As God in Christ forgave you, and you, and you, and you, and you. How wonderful it is to have that burden rolled off of you. While heads are bowed, please. I haven't preached long tonight. But God put this message in my heart weeks ago. While heads are bowed, I want to see the hands of those throughout this audience that will say by a raised hand, Walt Mills, this message was for me tonight. And there are things in my heart that I must forgive. Slip up your hand. I want you that are raising your hand, I want you to step out and come forward. I'm not going to ask you embarrassing questions. I'm not going to ask you embarrassing questions. Come on. Come on. There's things that I must forgive. I must forgive. Come on. The blood. It washes white as snow. Come on. I've got things in my heart that I need to forgive. Got things in my heart that I need to forgive. Of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes life. Sing it again. Come on. Others need to come. We're going to pray here shortly. Others need to come. Others need to come. Come on. If you refuse to forgive, you have no forgiveness. If you refuse to forgive, you have no forgiveness. You see these precious people who have come.
Thank you, Jesus.
All of a sudden, I'm made aware by the Spirit of God that there are those in this television audience that this message has been for you.
Yes.
You've been eat up. You've been eat up with unforgiveness, with anger, with bitterness. Do you want forgiveness? You have to forgive. Walt Mills, that thing runs so deep. I think of a woman right now. She's, I think, probably getting close to 60 years of age, I guess. Her father molested her. A church attender. Everybody in that church thought he was the sweetest man on earth. And he's doing that to his daughter when the lights went out at night. She's probably getting close to 60 and still sleeps with the light on. But I've dealt with her. My wife has dealt with her. We've said you've got to forgive what your father did to you. As I said, it can cut deep. It's messed her life with her life. And as I said in the message, I don't understand a man doing that. I don't. I look at my grandbabies and I thought anybody were to try that with one of them. Just God have pity on them, because I probably won't. And that hurt can run deep. But you've got to forgive.
That's it. Yes, yes, yes.
And what Jesus accomplished at Calvary.
Yes, He did.
What Jesus accomplished at Calvary. As we pray, I believe it to be released in your life right now. In your life right now. You that have your prayer language right now, the Holy Ghost is here. Move into your prayer language and just begin to talk to God in the heavenly language right now. Let tongues begin to speak through you. Jesus, you that are here, repeat this prayer after me, please. Heavenly Father, I truly want to be free from this unforgiveness, the grudges that I've held, the bitterness that I've held. I truly want to be free. And just as surely as you set Walt Mills free, you can set me free. You can take murder out of my heart. You can take revengeful thoughts out of my heart. And I place my faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release in Jesus' name the power and the presence of God. And He's here, folks. I release the power and the presence of God into your spirit right now, that all of the bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and harboring grudges and wanting revenge, I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I release in the name of Jesus His healing and delivering power upon your life. And God has touched you just now. How many, I don't want you to say it if it didn't happen. How many of you feel and know that God has just touched you right now? That He's touched you right now. Sing that again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. We're not in any hurry. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Jesus, oh. come, would you please, just come and lay hands on them. Praise God, whoever will, just come and lay hands on them. It washes white. Oh, keep singing it, keep singing it.
In so many hearts and lives. And I believe the Lord has touched some hearts and touched some souls and delivered some people from this bondage of darkness. Thank you, Walt. We want to receive an offering for Brother Mills. He's blessed us all day long, and I want you to bless him now. And here are two boxes. Could I get you to come and put in your gift, please, and do the best that you can. Jesus breaks every door. Jesus breaks.